Acts chapter 1, let's go there again, Acts chapter 1. We're preaching on Sunday nights. I'm not saying we'll do this in a continual stream, but over the course of the year, I'll probably bring 15 or 16 messages on this subject, attributes of the abounding church in the book of Acts. Attributes of the abounding church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. We'll look at verse number 6, and we'll read down into the chapter some, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, behold, they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where they abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your help and your strength, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to open the scriptures. And Lord, we want to simply look into the Bible. Lord, you have recorded for us in your divine wisdom, knowing that we would need it. You've recorded the activity of the early church. Lord, I do not believe this is an accident. I don't think that these are outdated stories. I don't think they're outdated methods that are archaic and do not apply to today's situation. I don't believe that we need to adjust the church to match the culture. I pray, Lord, that we would look at the foundational, basic truths of this abounding church. And Lord, we would strive here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to, by faith, implement these things into our church. I pray, Lord, for that and for wisdom and participation in doing so. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last Sunday night, we spoke on this attribute of the abounding church in the book of Acts, the doctrine of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Now, that word imminent means it can happen any moment, any time. The early church believed that. And I believe that if you will go to any time that there is a time in history of revival, no matter where that would be on our planet, you would find that that is one of the doctrines that drove that revival, that drove that awakening. People must and should believe, Christians must and should believe that Jesus Christ could come at any moment of any day. Brother Reiser told me this week, he said, I don't know, he told me this morning, I don't know if it's because you preached on it last week, but he said, I've just been absolutely captivated by the idea of Christ coming back. I mean, this very week, it's like every day I expected it. I thought, praise the Lord, we need to live like that. I love the fact that my dad has named the new auditorium Bible class, Jesus is Coming Bible class, the Jesus is Coming Bible class. He told me at lunch today, he said, every week I'm going to start out by telling them Jesus is coming. I said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I don't know of a better, if you want to beat a drum, that's a good drum to beat right there. And so we must keep that before us. We must keep that in our minds. I'm talking about putting little reminders up. You say, Brother Jerry, I ought to think more that way, but I don't. Well, you know, we tend to not think about something because we don't plan to think about it. Maybe on your mirror at home, you ought to put a little sticky note that says, Jesus may come today. Maybe you ought to put something in your car that says, Are you ready for Christ's return? I'm not talking about a bumper sticker for someone else to see. I'm talking about something we need to see as Christians, you see. And so, the great doctrine of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Now, The second attribute that you see in the early church and churches found in the book of Acts that occurs again and again is this. And let me just give you this next attribute. The early church believed in the power of united prayer. The power of united prayer. Now, I got to thinking today when I was going over the notes right before the service and just getting my mind and my heart ready to come in and actually preach the message. And I thought to myself, you know, it's been about 3 months since I've preached on prayer. Now, in most years, that might not be unusual. That might be too long, but not unusual. But coming off of 2008, the year of prayer, where the Lord allowed me to preach 44 times in 1 year on prayer, 3 months now seems like a long time to have not preached on prayer. And I got under a little conviction about it. I thought, you know what? I'm glad that the second attribute brings us back to this great, great doctrine, this great reality. Listen, this ought to be a part of all of our lives, folks. This matter of prayer, personal prayer, yes, but the power of united prayer. So we're going to talk about that tonight, the power of united prayer. I'm very excited. By the way, you say, Brother Jerry, give me some illustrations of united prayer. What do you mean by united prayer? Now, we're going to define it here in just a moment. I'm not going to have you go to it. We studied this. If you go on the website and look at last year's sermons, you'll find one entitled The Power of United Prayer. It will take you to three different places in the book of Acts where we see the church come together for a time of united prayer. The first one's found in Acts chapter 1 and spills over into Acts chapter number 2. They were in one place, they were in one accord, and they were praying for one specific thing to happen. That is the definition of united prayer. I believe personally, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with the church sometimes getting together in the same place and having the same accord and praying for a variety of different things, but what I'm telling you is this, that when you see miraculous things happen in the book of Acts, it is in response to people coming to one place in one accord and praying for one specific thing. In Acts chapter 1 and 2, we see what is referred to as Pentecost, the 10 days of prayer and waiting and tarrying for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God upon their lives so that they could go out and then begin to obey the Great Commission. They were in one place. The Bible says they were in one accord, and they were all praying for the same thing. Jesus told them specifically what to do, what to go to the upper room for, what their directive was, so they were on the same page. They were praying for fullness of power so that they could leave that upper room and go out to the streets and begin to personally one-on-one and publicly preach and impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to preach probably on this the next sermon, and we're not going to get into it deeply tonight. But the one place was the upper room. The one accord is documented. They were of one spirit. Hey, church, look up here. Look up here. That's why it's important. What, Brother Jerry, you're spending this 1 Corinthians study. Man, I mean, you've been on this for a couple weeks now, couple Wednesday nights now, of the importance and the carnality of divisions amongst the congregation. Well, you know why I'm hitting that? Because I want to see a revival. I'd like to see Pentecost. I'd like to see something like Pentecost happen in Greene County. Oh, yes, I would. I'd like to see something like that. And so, listen, how does the devil battle this? How does he keep these things from happening? Well, he fights against these ingredients. So let me finish first. Pentecost, Acts chapter 1 and 2. Prayer after the persecution in Acts chapter 4. And when the persecuted disciples that were accosted and rebuked were released, they went to the brethren, they gathered in prayer. What did they pray? Were they in one place? Yes. Were they in one accord? Yes, it says they were. What did they pray for? Boldness to witness despite threats and persecution. Now, look up here a minute, church. Brother Jerry, man, I'm still thinking about announcements. I mean, what's going to happen if it gets dangerous to come to church? Oh, I don't know. Let's ask the people in the book of Acts what they did. Listen, we're supposed to assemble. You know why? Because it's a command to assemble. It doesn't say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together unless it gets a little tough. I mean, ask the Christians in China how dangerous it is. Ask Christians in the Sudan how dangerous it is to assemble. And these underground churches, when we say that, we're not talking about underground churches, we're talking about hidden churches. People that sequestered themselves away in sheds and barns and houses, and they have to sneak in one at a time and then slowly gather and then sneak out, and they can't. Listen, folks, what I'm saying is this. You know what? Satan will do anything and everything he can to discourage people from assembling. Why? Because there is power in the assembly. And part of that power is the power of united prayer. One place, one accord, praying for one specific thing. Amazing thing. If you read Acts chapter 4, what happens? My goodness, there's a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. They go out with renewed boldness in the face of persecution. They see more people saved. I mean, they just continue to set the mark higher and higher. And you know what? God answered their prayer. The third place is in Acts chapter 12. You see the illustration of united prayer when Peter was arrested. Remember, James was run through with the sword. He became a martyr. Peter was arrested with the intent of, after the holidays, doing the same thing to him, killing him. What happened? God's people assembled, and they began to pray. One place, one accord, one request. They weren't praying for you know, Aunt Hazel's rheumatism. I'm not against praying for Aunt Hazel's rheumatism, but that's not why they assembled. They were one place, one accord, praying for one thing. What were they praying? They were interceding for a brother who was in great danger. In great danger. And you know what? God again heard and miraculously answered their prayers. The prison gates were open. Peter thought he was having a dream, and then he woke up and found it was real. And that's a pretty neat dream to have. If you're going to have a dream, find out it's real, and you get out of prison. And then he began to knock on the door. And I'm always encouraged by this. You know, sometimes people say, well, Brother Jerry, you don't understand. We're just not people of great faith like the people in the book of Acts were. Well, that story ought to encourage you. You know, I'm glad it says, I've said this a lot, but I'm glad that it says that Jesus said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain. Instead of saying, if you have faith the size of a mountain, you can say to a grain of mustard seed. You know what? Folks, honestly, our faith usually at its best is pretty pathetic. Where you say, well, they didn't have very good faith. They didn't have much faith. Well, they had faith enough to assemble. They had faith enough to get on their knees and pray. And you know what? Listen, folks, that showed God something. And so, you know what? Sometimes I assemble and sometimes I pray. And sometimes when I'm praying for something, there's you know, remember the man that said, "Help, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Have you ever prayed like that? You know, you say, Brother John, I'm trying to have full faith, but there's this element of doubt. Well, you know what? That man that said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief," still got his miracle. And these people that heard the knocking, and the little girl came back and said, "Peter's at the door." And they said, "No, he's not. He's in prison. I mean, that's why we're here. We're praying for him to get out of prison, so it can't possibly be him." You know, that sounds like us. Well, ding dong, you're praying for him to get out. Why wouldn't you think that's him out there? But I laugh because it hits kind of close to home, you know. And I'm sure not picking on these folks. I think a lot of times when I prayed about something and I see God answer the prayer, although I try to appear confident like I expected it, sometimes I'm like, wow, it happened. You know, and that's okay. United prayer. The church in united prayer. Now, they were praying in all of these instances in one place, one accord, one request. Now, Satan attacks this formula. What he does is he tries to take each of these ingredients and he tries to eliminate them so that we do not have this great resource of united prayer. As I mentioned before, and I started to get ahead of myself, the one place he fights is in Christians assembling. Unfaithfulness is one of the things that will diffuse this formula. If you can't get Christians to come to church, you're not going to have a united prayer time. They've got to be in one place, one accord. Well, we'll all stay at home. Just call me with the prayer request. Okay, I'm not against that. I love our prayer chain. I think that's fine. Hey, I'll get people praying any way I can get them. But I'm telling you that the Bible formula is one place, one accord, one request. There's something wonderful about the church assembly. Now, when does that happen? You may not even realize that it's already happened twice in this service. At least we attempted for it to happen. Amen. Folks, we've got to let your preacher help you here. I know the weakness of our flesh and the weakness of our human minds and the weakness of our human attention spans. But when we walk to the pulpit right after the opening songs and we open and we read out prayer requests, I'm not doing that just because it's on the schedule. I'm not doing that just because I want you to daydream while I pray. I really believe this. I mean, I'm convinced of it. I believe that an assembled body of believers focusing on altogether the same none of those requests were mine. Well, you know what? There's a desk right back there. Fill out a piece of paper and bring it up here. If not, then don't complain about it. All right? I mean, just follow the formula the pastor set up. Okay, I shouldn't have to come to you all individually. Is there anything I can pray for you tonight? Go follow the procedure. Okay? Or don't pout that you don't get your request prayed for, all right? Mercy sakes alive. Just amazes me sometimes. But you have the opportunity. We bring them up here. We read them off. Now, I'm serious. I wish one time that we could have 100% participation in this room during that prayer time. You say, well, Brother Jerry, you read them off, I can't remember them. Well, while I'm praying, I mention them. Is your heart joining in that prayer? Are you also adding your request for that? Listen, I mean this. I wish we could open or have our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open, and watch the spiritual shockwaves that come out of a church towards a situation where an assembled group of believers by faith, one place, one heart, one request, are lifting their voices and their hearts up to Almighty God. I think when we get to heaven and we see how much power was in that, we're going to say, why didn't we do that more? Why didn't I participate in that? Now then, just a little while after that, the end of the announcements, we had our prayer letter and we had our specific missionary. And we've said, let's have a missionary of the week. And folks, let's take just a few minutes. That's not very long, but let's take a few minutes. Let's update on what's going on in their life. Give us something to pray about. And then again, Brother Reiser just doesn't read that. March away. He leads us in united prayer. Listen, what I'm doing back there is I'm praying for Brother Ryberg. I'm praying for his wife, Kathy. I'm praying for those lost soldiers, millions of them that are scattered across this world. I'm praying for their safety. I'm praying for their salvation. I'm praying for encouragement for those that are saved, that they'll be a witness. I'm not over there, you know, twiddling my thumbs. I'm not over there daydreaming. I'm participating in what's going on. I'm praying for our college student of the month. Listen, I take a few minutes while he's mentioning Heather's name in prayer, and I'm thinking about her rejoicing what God's done in her life and got her to the point where she's at and fully aware that Satan's not going to quit trying to discourage her and attack her and try to make her want to turn back or fall and fail in some manner. Listen, these kids are deserving of our prayers and our prayer time. And so we've already had it twice. Did we have it twice? Only you can answer that. What I'm saying, folks, if you'll look at this, it's incorporated in almost everything we do around here. Before the services, I've asked our men, prayer partners, I hope that you're not slacking off on this, men. Don't come to the meeting. Let me assign you a partner. And then once or twice in an entire month, meet together for prayer. Don't do it. Don't do that. We need men before the service praying. What I talked about is very real earlier, and I'm not going to keep pushing this button, but what I talked about earlier is very real. And I believe we're going to get to heaven. We're going to find out that a lot of times there may have been something that was averted because we sought God's power and protection over this place. We cannot fail to pray. At our last Senior Saints fellowship, I had my wife put together some laminated sheets. On the laminated sheets are the pictures of the children of every missionary that we support. We also gave them laminated 8.5 by 11 piece sheets, laminated, with the picture of every one of our school students on it. Now, what did you do that for? Well, I just didn't have anything else to do, and I thought it'd be neat, and maybe they would think it was... No, I need you praying. I need you praying. I need you praying. I'm going to tell you something. You just give me a bunch of praying senior saints and look out, devil. Now, it's not because he's scared of us, but buddy, when we plead the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and begin to call out names to him, we do it on a regular daily basis. Boy, I'll take that. That's exciting. And so you've been given some helps and some direction in this. I believe, folks, and I just want to hit this. I believe that we cannot get away from what we, I believe, established early and trace it back in every great movement, the idea of united prayer meetings. I don't think Wednesday night ought to be an option for any Christian, whether or not they should come, whether or not you want to hear the Bible study or not, whether or not you're tired or not. If there's one thing that ought to bring you here, and I'm not diminishing the preaching and teaching of God's Word, but if there's any other reason that you ought to come, it's because that's prayer meeting night. I love it. I love it. I kneel down here every single week, or most every single Wednesday, and I always take a few minutes when we begin our prayer time, and I listen. I just kind of, for a second, lift my ears, and I listen to praying voices all across this auditorium. Men in groups of two or three, women in groups of two or three. I hear them lifting their voice up to Almighty God. And I think to myself, how pleased God must be with that. I mean that. I just wonder. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to put us on a pedestal. We don't do near as much as we should or as much as we could. I'm not. But I can't help but wonder how many churches that say Independent Fundamental Baptist on the sign, God never sees the assembly on their knees together praying and asking God for power upon the church, power to carry out the work of God, God's participation and help. I mean, almost every Wednesday, somewhere in my prayer, I'll say something along this lines. Lord, the Bible says, Lord, you said in your word, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Lord, we are on our knees because we know, and we want you to know that we know, that nothing that we can do in our own power is going to amount to anything that's going to be eternal or divine or supernatural. We need you here. Every ministry needs you here. Now, folks, listen to me. Again, we have prayer requests, and I'm all for you sharing prayer requests. If you take a moment, find out what the person you're praying, I'm all for that. But you know what I want you to do on Wednesday night, priority one? Pray for the church. Pray for the ministries of the church. Pray for the next Sunday services. Pray for our bus ministry. Pray for our nursing homes that are scheduled. Pray for our Christian school. Pray for our young people, our teenagers. Pray for our children's churches. Pray for our nursery work. I mean, everything that goes on here needs to be bathed in prayer. Now, that is the power of united prayer. I believe we took some steps in this area church-wide during 2008. I'm glad that God allowed me to preach on this again just a few months into 2009. We cannot forget what we learned last year. We cannot slide backwards. We cannot diminish in any way our prayer lives. If anything, let the theme abounding in the work of the Lord, please let that include also prayer. Let's say, you know what, Brother Jerry, I grew last year in my prayer life. Good. Let's abound past that even more this year. Amen. Let me say a few other things that I hope will challenge you. In all of our individual ministries, let me encourage you, in all of our individual ministries, to spend some time in united prayer. I'm talking about, let me just give you for instances, okay? I'm talking about bus captains that get where you pick up your bus workers and before you go to visit that first house or try to pick up that first house on Sunday morning. Wait a minute. Let's get all your workers, whether you pick them up here, whether you pick them up somewhere else. Let's pull the bus over. Let's take some time to pray. I was trying to get a hold of somebody over at the school the other day. I needed to ask. We've got our phone system in now over at the school, and so we've got intercom over to the three of the learning centers. So I said, oh, I need to find Mrs. Burcham and ask her a question. So I put, well, it's high tech back there. I'm telling you, we're cutting edge now. It's unbelievable. And intercom 19. There. Hey, even I can do that. Amen. And ring. Nobody answers. I'm like, where is she? I'll tell you what, we're going to cut her pay. What in the world's going on? Well, I'll try Terry Reiser, all right. Star 1-8, I think. Is she 1-8? Or I don't know. 1-8. Intercom 1, what? 20. Okay, intercom 20. I wonder I never got a hold of her. I was down the wrong number. Ring, 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 ring. Not there. I said, I'm going to get a hold of the principal. I've had it. I'll call Brother Reiser. I'll say, where are these teachers? So I intercomed his classroom. You know, star 18 is, all right, star 18. And ring, ring, and he picks up, hello. I said, man, where are the teachers? I tried Mrs. Burcham. I said, Brother Jerry, I'm sorry. We're in my classroom. We're getting ready to have prayer. Okay. Okay. I knew it'd be some stinking excuse like that. You know, I'm still cutting their pay. I don't care. Amen. I hung up and I said, I'm sorry. I said, and I looked at the clock. I realized, hey, amen. Amen. You know what? I'd feel pretty good about that if I was a parent. I'd feel pretty good that before the kids begin to be dropped off in the morning, there's teachers that are gathered in a classroom and they're praying and asking God. Listen, what I'm saying is this. A nursing home. You know, we're going to have a nursing home today. Good night. That's great. Listen, folks, don't just charge in there prayerless. I mean, whoever works together in that nursing home, listen, there's a place you can meet. Meet outside, meet inside, find some place. You meet in front of people? Oh, yeah, it really is okay to pray in front of people. It really is. It's actually a pretty good testimony just to go ahead and pray in front of people. Well, what will people think if they walk through and we're in a corner of a cafeteria? Well, they might think you're a Christian. They might think that you know that you need God. They might stop and say, I'm going to go to whatever they're having because, man alive, I haven't seen that in years. What I'm saying is this. There is and was a wonderful, wonderful attribute that infiltrated this abounding church. And we must let it infiltrate every area of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Sunday school teachers, I know you do this. But don't start your class without prayer. Don't start your class without prayer. It's worth it to stop and beseech the throne of grace. Children's church workers, I know you do this. But you know what? One of the first things you do. I mean, we come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday school. You know what we do? I have a good time. I sing some songs with the kids. But you know what we do before we leave here? Oh, God, please. Please, this hour is important. Teachers have prepared and teachers have prayed. And they're going to be standing before students with open Bibles. And God, I don't want it just to be a Sunday where the same thing. Do something supernatural. Touch somebody's life. And I believe this with all my heart. If you'll participate in that. Well, Brother Jerry, I've never done anything quite like that before. Oh, I'll give it a try. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It binds the heart of brothers and sisters together. It gets us on the same page. I believe God looks down and says from his heart of hearts, oh, it's so refreshing in this day and age where so many people are plowing forward and trying to do my work in the power of the flesh. Thank God for a group of people that understand they can't do it without me. Thank God for a group of people that gather together and they have enough sense to gather into one place and they have enough maturity to put aside petty differences for the greater cause of Christ. Thank God for people that will focus on the important things and not worry about the silly, unimportant things. Pray together. Folks, this is an attribute of the abounding church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would take this truth and ignite it into our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd solidify it in every single area of the church. Lord, I pray that you'd challenge everybody that's in any type of a leadership position in any of the ministries. Lord, may they just make a decision. Maybe they have been, maybe not. But let's together, Lord, please, let's together help us to always be a praying church. Lord, we need your help. We need your strength. Oh, God, please. We need your power. Lord, we cannot carry out the work of God without our God. Lord, we don't want to see things that are done that may appear to be supernatural but are really flesh-driven. We want to see miracles. Lord, we want to see a manifestation of the power of God in individuals' lives. We want to see people that are genuinely brought to a place of true repentance and conversion. Their lives change. We want to see Christians grow. Lord, there's people here in this room. Maybe they know it, maybe they don't, that are under, I believe, specific satanic attack. We need to stand before the throne of grace and intercede for them. We have, Lord, in our midst, people that are suffering, the people that are fighting illnesses and sicknesses. They need a church that prays for them. Lord, I know as a preacher, I need God's people praying for me. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a praying church. Lord, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus.